Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. Let's check in with my boy Spencer. Mason is, he's a lost cause. We are very close to firing Mason from this podcast. He's pushing the limits of PTO and vacation time. So he needs to get his ass back in the studio, so to speak. But Spencer, how are things? How are you doing over there?
It's been good. Been a busy couple of weeks. Got to play, you know, some golf on a little course named Bandon Dunes.
Yes. tell the people how your round at Bandon was. How did that come to fruition as well? Like what was the process with that? And who did you play with? What are the details?
So it's just been kind of in the back of my mind because it's a hell of a lot cheaper in the winter, but because it's Oregon, you're battling the elements. But we had a significantly dry start to our winter. And so kind of monitoring the weather, there was a pocket a couple of days where it was about 55 degrees and dry.
That's very close to perfect golf weather, like 65, 70 and dry and sunny is great golf weather. So you're not far off from that. Yeah. Yeah. There's a wind factor.
But I had a couple weeks off work and I was trying to go snowboarding, but there's no snow, in Oregon at that time. So I said, you know, I'll pop out to Bandon, see what's available. So me and my dad actually cruised out there. We played, we got there.
Your plan was to go snowboarding and you switched to golf. That's extreme opposites.
It's global warming for you, man.
Yeah. Fucking Al Gore.
But got over there. We played a 12-hole par 3 course. Beautiful. Very different than the one we played in Arizona. Like, I don't think I hit a shot over 8-iron, maybe.
Okay. Like an actual par 3 course.
Yeah, so it was really, yeah. But the putting kicked our ass. Like the greens were just like,
whee! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that it was beautiful right on the ocean. We could see it. And then the next day we played Bandon Trails, which is kind of through the woods, which actually worked out because it was really windy. We heard on the some of the courses on the coast. So we actually lucked out because we were protected in the trees. But I mean, that place is incredible. I can't wait to go back. Definitely not in the summer when it's like $900 a round, but if we can sneak out there in December or January, it was super reasonable and definitely doable.
Yeah, I would 100% be down for that. I don't mind battling the elements a little bit, especially if it's going to be at a place like that. But yeah, very jealous, very, very jealous of you getting to do that. So hopefully we'll get a group together and be able to do that here pretty soon. So let's get right into it. How cold is it there, by the way?
It is currently 27 and we're pending an ice storm tonight.
Ooh, yeah, we got hit. Sorry, had to throw something at the cat, making too much noise over there. Didn't like it. yeah, we got a hit the Sunday night. I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I walked to the kitchen to get some water. And I looked out the window and I was like, the ground is covered in snow in Texas. Awesome. But then that led to school being canceled today. So I've been off for the last 2 days because of the holiday and then, no school today, which is, they probably kicked themselves in the ass for that because we have our snow days built into our days off or built into where like we don't have to make them up at the end of the year. Like we used to have to make them up. And it was like 25 and sunny today, but they canceled school yesterday, so there's not shit they can do about it. So
do it online though, because like for work,
No, because not every kid has a computer. That's the problem. Not every kid has internet. Yeah, not every kid has internet. All that good stuff. No, it has been really cold. Like this morning when I got up, it was like 10 degrees. That we had to put a heat lamp in for the chickens. Those things. But yeah, so it's cold here too. But let's get right into it. So, I want to talk a little club hockey to start, because before it gets too, irrelevant, which I don't think it will ever be irrelevant because it'll keep happening with different exhibition games. But a few weeks ago, I was in Colorado, specifically Colorado Springs, with my select team, at a tournament, that I coach. And, we Friday night went to the Colorado College game. Now, last year we went to the Colorado College game. They played Princeton. So it was a good game, but it was two NCAA teams. And I, for the life of me, I just never looked up who they were playing until I was in Colorado Springs that Friday afternoon. And I was like, wait, I don't even know who they're playing. Let me look up who they're playing. So I Googled it and it said Minot State exhibition. And I was like, whoa, is this old? Is this actually what they're doing tonight? So I looked into it and they are playing Minot State. And then the press reading said that, you know, they're playing Colorado College Friday night and then going down to play DU Saturday night. So I was very, very interested, having obviously played that team before, and knowing that they're the number one, technically ranked number one in ACHA club hockey right now, Division One. There's teams like Liberty and other teams that are not too far whatever. It doesn't matter. They're the number one team right now. And so I was very interested. They actually played a really, really good game. I don't want to say a big skill gap. There was a big systems gap. Like the puck movement was a lot quicker on the Colorado College side, especially in the zone offensively. Like there was Minot State's goalie had to make, like, it was 7-1 was the final, which is technically, I would say, is actually a respectable score with Colorado College being a top 20 NCAA team in the country right now. And having before that, just having swept North Dakota. But he had to make like 30, it seemed like, backdoor like toe saves just to even keep them in it. So hats off to him. But then they went down to Denver and they were very competitive. They had opportunities. They just couldn't bury. They also looked a little tight butthole. You know what I mean? Like it was a packed house. They looked a little like pucks were just kind of jumping off their stick. Then they played good. Then they went down to Denver, and lost 9-3. So 4 goals total, against 2 top, 20 NCAA teams. I would say that's very, very respectable. And shout out to them, for scheduling those games, and shout out to, Colorado College in Denver for giving them an opportunity to come out there and play. Now I did read an article, because everyone's like, oh, they're moving up to NCAA. They got to be. That's what ASU did. Well, people forget ASU and Penn State and Ohio State all had big, big donors that came in and gave them a shit ton of money. So Minot State's already said we can't move up even if we wanted to because we don't have the money. It takes millions and millions and millions of dollars to do that. So unless there's a big, big millionaire who was a Minot State graduate, which I'm no offense to Minot State graduates. I don't think there's very many of you out there that are millionaires, at least that just financially can't make the move. But it does open up the door for other club teams like Liberty, like Lindenwood, who is NCAA now, but they still have a club team, but like Iowa State, like Ohio, Central Oklahoma. It opens up the door for those teams to do the same thing. I'm going to get your take on this, Spencer. What do you think? Are we going to see more club teams kind of try to schedule these games? And does this make NCAA teams more open to scheduling the games because they were competitive, but there's really no fear of losing? Yeah. You know, when you look at 7-1 and 9-3. So what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, definitely that's stick taps to my knot for doing that. I think when you look at some of those top D1 club teams, when you're looking at their top lines, I think they more fit into a third or second line of a top NCAA team, which is why you see not why you don't want to say skill gap, but systems gap is those top end players of those top teams in NCAA are, you know, a step better because they are, you know, either going to pro leagues overseas, lower levels here, so on and so
forth. Not Israel.
Not that. But I think it definitely for like a second tier NCAA team, like some of those teams that are trying to make a name for themselves and maybe don't want to play those top BC, BU, Minnesota, Michigan schools, like they will play these, you know, top 10 ACHA schools and kind of those bottom tiers to kind of see like where that aligns, especially regionally and all that, because I think there is a huge opportunity right now for schools to bring on NCAA hockey teams into the fold because it's ever growing, especially on the women's side. So I think it's very lucrative to these schools to kind of bring them in especially for a school like Minot or Liberty, who don't have top end football teams. Like, they have baseball, they have basketball, but to get another big varsity sport into these maybe smaller D1 schools, I think would be very advantageous to these schools.
Imagine Ohio State and Ohio playing an exhibition. Like, that would just be fun. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of the score, and have Ohio come down to Ohio State's barn and pack the house. It'd be like half, it would be 50-50, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a lot of fun. So I think it opens up the opportunity for something like that for other teams and those teams as well. So hopefully, now here's the thing. It's no longer just, this is what I wanted to get your other opinion on. It's no longer just the ACHA. It's the AAU as well. And AAU is not made up. AAU is like when I was like playing roller hockey as a kid and going to national tournaments sponsored by AAU. It's like AAU basketball, where a lot of these pros come from. So AAU now has Division I, Division II, and Division III college club hockey. So ACHA now has a competitor. The AAU doesn't have a lot of teams. It's only its second year in existence. So there's three divisions. The first is a Southern division with Tampa, Georgia, South Coast getting a sick arena, South Carolina, Alabama, and Auburn. And then there's a Northeast division with Farmingdale, Fordham, Quinnipiac, Fairfield, and Delaware. And then there is like I don't know what you want to, it's Eastern as well, but it's like more, it's St. Bonaventure, Niagara, Binghamton, Buffalo, Cornell, and Cortland. So that those are all of the teams that make up AAU Division I hockey. So obviously there's a lot more ACHA Division I teams, but I think it's very interesting that these ACHA teams now have an option to go somewhere else and to play in a different league if they choose. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of sad that wasn't that option. We're at Colorado State, because that looks like with the teams we had and the teams that are in the AAU currently, there would have been national championships would have been easily in grasp for us. But it's just interesting that now there's an option for teams to go, you know what, I don't want to, we're going to go to the AAU and play there. And there's some pretty sick uniforms, like Binghamton's uniforms I looked up were pretty nasty. We've seen what some of the Southern teams can do with Tennessee's, those baby blue with the checkered orange shoulders that you sent me. What do you think about that though? Do you think we're going to start seeing a lot of, it obviously would take one big organization like a Davenport or like an Adrian or somebody to go, you know, we're going there too, for it to really, really stick. But what do you think the competition with college, with the club college leagues, is good? Do you think it just only creates more hockey and more opportunities?
I personally think this does a disservice to club hockey by splitting off, because
I was not expecting that.
I don't know. I don't think splitting it into a different entity and having these rival leagues is going to make club hockey thrive. I mean, I don't want to call it PGA Live, but you know what I mean, though? Like, it's now you're, okay, I'm going to be against the ACHA. I'm pulling these teams, where all of a sudden club hockey is not going to be as strong, because you're going to have these top schools going over. Now the national championships are, okay, well, these top schools are playing in this league and these top schools are playing in this league. Is it really a club national championship? So I don't think it's really going to be the best thing for club hockey. I think we need to see, and I'm going to keep beating a horse with a dead stick on this one, but I think we just need to see schools step up and make varsity programs and have them be NCAA to have what they're trying to do. But I think this is going to take away from what club hockey is supposed to do.
The problem with that is it's the same reason Minot isn't moving up, is that you need a benefactor. You need millions and millions of dollars to do that.
I totally get that, but you can't tell me that the Clemsons of the world, the Alabamas of the world.
No, those teams do, but the St. Bonaventures of the world don't. The Cortlands of the world don't. The Binghamtons of the world don't.
Being the top club schools when these big schools actually move into the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think it's, I'm a huge fan of Liv. And I was a huge fan of the parody and the drama. And I'm a huge fan of just competition and opportunity. And I disagree. I do think this will create, like, I've never even heard of Binghamton. But think of
what it did to the Ryder Cup. When we look at the Ryder Cup, we were missing big players because they went to live.
Yeah, but that wasn't their fault. That was not their fault for going. That was a technicality on a rule.
But it's gonna be the same thing. You're going to be looking at the ACHA National Championship.
No, I do think it's weird. Yeah.
Or Davenport's at the AAU National Championship.
I do. Yeah,
that's
I do.
Kind of a wash.
I do think there's an argument for it's weird to have two. You're going to have two club D1 national championships and champions. Now you're going to have an AAU National Championship and an ACHA National Championship. Now, if there was an agreement in place where those two teams played each other to determine the national champion. I guess, but yeah, I mean, I get it. Yeah, no, I get it. I disagree slightly. Because I think it's cool. And there was, to be honest with you, there was a lot of shit that I disagreed with about the ACHA and how it was run, and different things, but you know, maybe I'm not saying the AAU is any better, cause I have no idea. And the AAU could be
very similar,
just as corrupt, like, as the NCAA, who knows? But they also seem like schools who were never in and maybe didn't have an opportunity and maybe got denied entry into the ACHA for whatever reason.
I'm going to keep bringing up my LIV argument and people saying they were washed up golf players that left the PGA Tour and never had a chance.
I mean, some of these teams apparently are pretty good. So, I mean, I guess we'll just have to keep that open and see how that goes. So Chicago Blackhawks, Connor Bedard is skating again. That's been the biggest deal the last few weeks. He's skating again after fracturing his jaw a few weeks ago. Not from a dirty hit, just from a play where he had his head down and head was down, Johnny. And it was just a lemony snicket series of unfortunate events. But it doesn't really look like it's going to slow down the Calder race for him. He was expected to be out probably up to 10 weeks, but it looks like he's going to come back sooner than that, which everyone expected just because of modern medicine and him being the guy. So he is currently still a minus 500 favorite to win the Calder. The closest behind him is Brock Faber at plus 1200, Luke Hughes at plus 1400, Marco Rossi at plus 1800, and Adam Fantilli at plus 2200 are the top five. So barring any other significant injury that he has to sustain or go through, he should be still the Calder winner, even with fracturing his jaw, because I would expect he's not going to come back, and he's got enough guys on that team where he should not be timid. He should come back, and he's probably going to keep his head up, and he probably won't go down the trolley tracks down middle like that too often anymore, or he'll get rid of the puck quicker. But he'll just the same. That team is at last in the Central. They're 15 points behind Minnesota, which we'll get to Minnesota in just a second. We won't talk about them too much, but we'll just get to them in just a second. But so they're going to get another very, very high draft pick, if not win the lottery again. So it's the team is in a full rebuild. So it's not like it's very much, you know, he wasn't needed those last few weeks. The only thing that anybody should be worried about Bedard right now is, like I said, the Calder, but it's well within his grasp still. Spencer, to get your take on Bedard, do you think he's going to come back from this injury and be timid, or do you think he's got such a high IQ that it won't be a problem?
I think this is going to be a bit of a learning experience for him. I think he got a bit too comfortable and he got caught reaching like he did in juniors, and somebody reminded him he is not in juniors anymore. This is the big boy game.
He didn't even hit him. He just stood there. Like, he just let Bedard run into him, and it was like, nope, you're a boy, I'm a man, and this is kind of what happens.
So, I mean, yeah, I think him being back on the ice so quick, he's just continuing to show us that he is the guy that everybody is thinking that he is. I'd love to see him back. Do you think we see him in the All-Star game now?
Yeah, when is that? Do you know the date on that?
It should be, you know, early February, I believe. But
I think so.
It was initially ruled out, but with him being back on the ice, I'd love to see him there. I think it'd be huge for the NHL to get him there.
If he doesn't skate, he'll be there.
Maybe for the skills.
Can he do the skills and not do the game?
You know, the NHL would let that happen.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I know the Doritos comparison is funny for the jerseys. I actually think they're pretty cool jerseys. I think they're fun.
I like them taking a risk and doing something for a
Yeah, and it also, they look like Doritos bags, or they look like McDonald's. Like the red and yellow one looks like a, but they're cool. They're fun. I kind of like them. It's kind of like the Nickelodeon slime. Yeah. And no, I think they're fun. Yeah. I think they're cool. But yeah, no, I don't see him having too much of a problem coming back. Now, them being 15 points behind Minnesota, Minnesota fucking sucks. We texted about this the other day. I watched them play Dallas, not the other night, but the other night. And they, Dallas didn't even play good. Like Dallas looked really slow. Like they had a long travel or they partied in downtown too long or whatever it was. And Minnesota just looked so disinterested in playing hockey. Like my senior A semi-pro team has more fire in two losses than they did, than what I saw. Like that, like they just look, and I texted you that and you said the same thing, 'cause you watched them play live and in Minnesota, right? And they were dog shit. So give me go ahead. Go off, Queen.
They got that ass beat. It was 6-0.
They're really bad.
3-0 at the Coyotes dominated the game.
Was that who it was?
Yes.
Oh.
The Coyotes absolutely it was unbelievable. Keller was just having a field day. Maroon was getting pushed around. The only guy that looked okay, which I was kind of surprised about because he's injured, was Kaprizov. He was at least skating fast. They put Fleury in halfway through the second, maybe towards the end of the second. He looked good. But, oh my God, they looked so disinterested in what they were doing. It didn't even look like they were having fun.
It's so weird because Fleury looks good. They have two rookies in the top five for the Calder voting, and Brock Faber and Marco Rossi. Brock Faber's pretty much a shoe-in to be a defenseman for the USA team. The other thing is they have other guys. They have Foligno. They have Zuccarello. They have Eriksson Ek. Like they have they're not very much different than they were last year when they gave Dallas a lot of problems physically, not necessarily on the scoreboard, but a lot of problems physically in that first round. They're not very much different than that. And everyone was like, well, they just need a couple pieces and they'll get out of that first round hump. They look so bad. I don't know what it is.
They're big. I'll give them that.
Who gives a fuck? But they don't want to play. If you don't want to play, there's nothing more useless than a big guy that doesn't want to play physical or tough and doesn't have passion. I see it in youth hockey all the time. Some of these kids are 16 and they're 6'4", 200 pounds, and they're softer than puppy shit. It's crazy. So there's nothing more useless than that. I don't want to stay on them too long just because they're trash. But Minnesota's got you people up there are having issues. How's the weather up there?
I don't think it got above 10 degrees while I was there.
Yeah. Did you have to talk like they do? Did you have to go, hey, hon? Oh, yeah.
No, but sitting in the arena and listening to all of them.
Did it sound like a movie? Oh, it sounded like a movie.
I thought it was like a YouTube video. I was like, I need to put earplugs in.
Speaking of YouTube videos, somebody who's not going to have to make any YouTube videos for any extra money for the rest of their life is Willie Styles, William Nylander. Cause this motherfucker signs an 8-year, $92 million bananas to stay in Toronto. That's so much fucking money. So here's the thing. And this is the argument. He is now paid more than Pasternak is in Boston, which I think is fucking nuts. Because if you ask me today, right now, as an NHL GM, Pasternak or William Nylander to build a team around, it's not even a question. So it's crazy to me that he's paid. This is the problem with this is, and now it's even with the cap going up $4 million or whatever the fuck it is. Who cares? This has set a precedent for guys. Oh man, this is GMs are in trouble. Because this is a lot of money, and he's paid more than some of the best players in the world now. And he's playing like a best player in the world right now, but we've seen in the past him have down years. But this is also what Toronto gets for not fucking giving him what he wanted over the summer. So this is like they're they're reaping what they sowed. And they wanted him to prove it, and he fucking proved it right up their hoop. No spit, no lube, sandpaper finish. So that's crazy. So bye bye Tavares, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I don't really understand what I mean. They had to pay him what they paid him to keep him, or else
they didn't have to. They didn't have to a little while ago. They did now.
Yeah, so I just don't understand how Toronto's going to add, because they still don't have a goalie. So I don't really understand how they're going to make, you know, a cup run with what it's going to be like. I mean, I'm just throwing out numbers. Let's call it 70% of their cap and like five guys. So I don't really understand
three.
How you make
three
like that.
Three. William makes $92 million. I forget what the AAV is. Matthews makes 50. Matthews is 54, but that'll get reworked into Marner's is right around what Marner's is like 50. So that's literally almost $200 million in contract money to three players,
which is like 1 year in the NBA. But I don't understand how they can bring in the pieces that they need to do now. So
because that's what I had written down. That's what I had written down. They need a stud goalie, but now they have absolutely no money.
They have no way to do it. So I don't really understand how they're going to make a cup run. I just feel like they're just up against it again.
I feel like they have to win it this year, and they're not going. They don't have the team to do it. You talked about how nasty they were at the beginning, and I said hold the phone on that because we watched Boston fuck it all up last year, and I admitted they were sick, but you were kind of all in on Toronto at the beginning here. They're third in the Atlantic, 1 point ahead of Detroit, and 11 points behind the leader Boston. So
if you back that up, I would also have said they're going to need to get goaltending.
Yeah, maybe, but we're not backing it up. We're just going to go with what I remember, and I remember you being all about them. But yeah, they need to. And here's the thing: if right now, if they played Boston in the first round, who are you taking? Yeah, so it's like it's almost like, and here's the crazy thing: Everyone was like, Dubas, Dubas, Dubas. What a snake. What a snake. He fucked us. He fucked us. He fucked us. Well, you still can't figure it out. Yeah, he signed Tavares, and he signed Matthews and Marner, but you're the one that just paid Willie Styles this, knowing the shit trouble you're in with contract and cap space. So it's like even with Dubas gone, they still continually just kind of shoot themselves in the foot. And rather than like, it's almost like rather than going to get surgery to take the bullet out, they just like they keep shooting themselves in the foot in the same spot, hoping that they'll just blow a hole big enough for the bullets to fall out of the bottom. Like they don't actually go fix anything.
Interesting analogy.
Do you like that?
I've never heard it before, but I'll probably never hear it again.
You most likely won't, because I just made it up. So you're welcome for that.
The other one scared like a skunk in a cactus field.
Yeah, ran through him like poop through a goose flavored lollipop, whatever that one is. But yeah, so I mean, where do they go from here? What is your fine, like if you're tree living, or if you are Shanahan, like what do you do, and what does your team look like next year?
I mean, you're looking at your team for next year. I think most of their guys are signed, but they're gonna have to probably move a Marner or Tavares, and they're not going to want to, but they need a big name.
Got
to
get rid of Tavares. He's not it anymore.
Captain, do you really?
Who gives a fuck?
Move him again?
Yeah, you can. Who gives a fuck?
Probably a no trade clause. I don't know. I see Marner going before he goes.
That's where they would fuck up. If they were going to get rid of Marner, they should have got rid of Marner last year at the deadline. And then they should have dumped, and then they should either buy out Tavares or not re-sign him or trade him as well. And you get rid of the, and find a team to take the salary. That's the key. That would have been the key. If you would have traded Marner when you had the opportunity, and then you find a team to trade Tavares to take the salary that's willing to, because there's teams willing to that need a veteran, that need a veteran captain who can still score, who's still good, but he's not that good. He's not worth 11.5 good. So they got issues. Now an issue that I want to get into, was one of the last things we have to talk about actually. So on January 8th, so like last week, out of nowhere, The Flyers traded their first round pick from last year and a world junior point leader for the gold medal winning Team USA, Cutter Gauthier, to the Anaheim Ducks for Jamie Drysdale, which is funny. It was Jamie Drysdale just because of all the things that Whitney was talking about on Spit and Chicklets and how he would trade Rasmus Dahlin for Drysdale and McTavish. And so it ends up being Cutter Gauthier to the Anaheim Ducks for Jamie Drysdale and a 2025 second round pick. And everybody was freaking out. What the fuck? What the fuck? Crazy. Anaheim fans are going nuts. Now, even though Drysdale's a nice player, Anaheim fans are going nuts based on what we've seen from Cutter Gauthier in college and at the World Juniors. He's going to be a stud. But then it comes out that Gauthier told Danny Briere to his face that sometime after the draft that he no longer wanted to be a Flyer and he was not going to play them. He was not going to play for them. So to ensure that the Flyers didn't call his bluff, Gauthier's camp, his agent, everybody, during the World Juniors cut all communication ties with the Flyers. Wouldn't talk to anybody. Wouldn't answer phone calls. Wouldn't answer emails. They literally went 0-30 on the Flyers, which ultimately led to the Flyers realizing they're not bluffing. He doesn't want to be here, which if you know anything about the Flyers or organization, regardless of who's in charge, it's a very, very boys club. How do you say it? Cigar smoking, kick your feet up. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're fucking out. We hate you. They run a tight ship there. If you're against the Flyers, you're against the Flyers. Doesn't matter who you are. So then it comes out about that. And then John Tortorella is asked about it. He says, I don't know Cutter Gauthier from a hole in the wall. He's like, I want to talk about Jamie Drysdale because he's the player I'm getting, which is like, wow. So Tortorella wasn't even in communication with his second round pick or his first round pick from last year. Then this is where I want to get into it, Spencer. A big shout out to John Tortorella, because then it comes out that some dumbass, and I'm going to get to his name too, because I'll fight him in a rough and rowdy 100%. Some dumbass puts out an article that says Kevin Hayes is the one behind the trade and that he got into Cutter Gauthier's ear to not play for the Flyers because his tenure with the Flyers kind of ended in a little bit of turmoil. And that it was proven very, very fast that was just unequivocally false. The problem was this asshole who put this article out allowed Philadelphia fans, who are just disgusting and mostly disgusting human beings to begin with, allowed them to open the door for them to say some really vile and disgusting things to Kevin Hayes over the internet. So I just want to get your whole take on this situation, Spencer. I know you didn't see this coming, but when you read it, when you first saw everything about the details leading up to the Kevin Hayes comments, what were your original thoughts? What were you thinking about this?
It definitely came from left field, especially, yeah, just after they win the World Juniors, which, you know, why I'm wearing my USA sweatshirt. Shout out to the 20 and under men's and I think 18 and under women's for winning gold. But, yeah, I don't know. So from what I heard, he thought he was ready to go into the NHL this year, and Philly thought that he was not, and that's where the beginning of the disconnect started. And when
Philly's fucking stupid for that,
you know, and I don't think so. I think he may have been, but I think over and over and over again, we see these young kids come to the NHL that start off really hot, spiral out, and then just don't have the careers everybody expects them to. So I think, you know, Philly knew they were going to be bad. So why rush the kid into a spot where he's going to have huge expectations? You know, let him go develop, let him go to the World Juniors, let him get the confidence that you want him to have for him coming into the organization to be the kid that you want him to be. I can totally see that from Philly's standpoint, but I can also see it from Cutter's standpoint of saying, I'm dominating at the NCAA. I'm dominating at the World
Juniors. And the best players my age against the world can't fucking do anything against me.
And I've played with some of the guys that are now in the show and dominating, and I've played just as high of a level as them. Why can't I do this too? I think he took a very interesting route because he is betting on himself for sure. And if he doesn't have a year that he expects himself to have in Anaheim, this shit is going to follow him for a while. To request a request a trade when you haven't even played an NHL game, I think takes some balls. So he's got to back that shit up now.
So there's an example of this going on right now, and I called this guy out. Obviously, we didn't have a podcast at this time because it was a long time ago, I believe. But I vividly remember texting our group about this that we have. When Adam Fox told Carolina he did not want to play for them after they drafted him, I was very, very, very critical. Or was it was Carolina or maybe in somebody before, and then they traded his rights to Carolina, and then he doubled down and told Carolina he didn't want to play for them either. I was very, very critical of that. And when he got traded to New York, who at the time wasn't even a good team, I called Adam Fox out for basically having an ego the size of an elephant penis. So I was going to say something else, but we won't get into that. But I called him out for his ego. And I said to tell these, because Carolina at the time was hot. And I said to tell that team, who's a good team and a good organization, that you don't want to play for them just because you what felt like wanted to play in the limelight of New York is so egotistical. And he has shoved that take right up my hoop because he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. And he kind of rode out some bad years in New York in order to kind of be in the situation that he's in as their top defenseman and on a very, very good team who has Stanley Cup aspirations this season. So that's an example of it working for a kid who had a lot of critics, including myself. But I'm not going to hold this one as much to Gauthier too, because the Flyers organization's very cutthroat. It doesn't take much for them to say fuck you. So
no,
look
at their response to this.
Yeah. So I feel like this is definitely a situation where the train goes both ways down the tracks. And I'm sure both of these parties have a little bit of wrong in them. But I'm sure in the long run, this is probably the best move for both of them. Because like I said, Philly is not a wishy-washy city. You're either all in or you're all out. They don't fucking want you. If you're 5% out, if you play in Philadelphia and you're 5% out for any sport as an athlete, you will have 18 bags of flaming dog shit on your porch the next morning. Like, they don't fucking want you there. So they're ruthless, which is fucking why they said the things to Kevin Hayes that they said. But
yeah, I mean, he was never going to be the player that Torts wanted to, you know.
No,
he was never. He's not Torts' style of player anyway. So
no,
I think,
like, but imagine him right now. He's like, wait, I get us like SoCal with Zegras and fucking McTavish and fucking Leo Carlson. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
How it all transpired and how all it got like blown up into the media and got very public was just, yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah. So,
and this whole Hayes stuff, I don't even want to touch on it because that's just gross.
No.
Some of the stuff that some of those people said to him, especially involving his brother.
No, but yeah, but I don't, disgusting. I personally don't care. I will call this guy out. This guy has got a podcast apparently that he gets to operate out of the arena. Anthony Sanfilippo. Is the reporter who Torts called out good for fucking Torts. Torts let him have it. And I'll fight this guy in a raid. This guy deserves to get taken out to a parking lot and thrown a beating. He really does. Like, this is a guy who's never had his ass kicked. I'm just being honest, because you don't do shit like that. And it's so bad for business, and it's so bad for all every good, like, young, like, imagine the journalism business, other than podcasting, kind of is dying, right? Newspapers, like, it's not the same as it used to be. But imagine these young kids or younger people who still are wanting to grind and make that a career, and you have people like this who it just ruins it. You know what I mean? It's terrible. But that's clearly a guy who thinks he can say and make up anything, and there's no consequence. This is the guy on the ice that turtles after he fucking hacks you in the back of the leg. This is who that guy is, and those guys deserve to get their fucking teeth knocked in. So that's 100% what I would do. So Anthony, if you're listening and you want to do a rough and rowdy, or any kind of charity boxing match with the Flowscape podcast, I will gladly do that, and we can donate a shit ton of money to charity, because I'm sure with your big following that you get to do a podcast out of the fucking arena, which I hope they don't let you do anymore after this. But yeah, it's just a guy who turtles in every aspect of life. So shame on you. But last thing I want to touch on real quick, because I just remembered it. Shout out to the PWHL. This looks like a very, very sustainable league. We've had leagues like this, and not like this, but we've had women's leagues in the past. We've had two women's leagues at one time in the past. We've had competing leagues. We've had good ideas, but we've never had a good product. And this is a very good product. And one of the reasons it's so good is they lay the absolute body. It's almost other than open ice hitting, it's basically full check. Which apparently a lot of the women have came out and said we were very, very big advocates for in our players agreements, that the league allow us to actually be physical and kind of play the game of hockey. Like, there were scrums, they're face washing. I fucking loved it. So, like, Spencer, I want to get your take on the PWHL. Do you think this is do we have a sustainable professional women's league? They have decent size cap. They have a decent size cap space. These women are paid enough money a year to actually just play hockey and be professional athletes, which, to be honest with you, I don't care if you're male or female. If you play a college sport, so the percentages, right? 7% of high school athletes will play college. 2% of those will play pro. But if you're male or female and you were good enough to be the 7%, but you're good enough to be the 2%, there's just no opportunities. Then that's not fair. So I think it's awesome that they're actually finally getting paid enough to just do this full time. They're paid enough to be hockey players like other guys are paid enough to be hockey players. So what's your take? Do you think we finally have a sustainable women's league for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think it was nicely thought out. I think somebody actually sat down and looked at this. It looks like they picked all the right cities, you know, showing in Minnesota, they like filled the barn, you know, thousands and thousands of people for one of the games. So it looks like an awesome environment. I love that they're able to use the body a little more. I think that's, you know, that's if that's what the players are asking for, it's nice that they listen to them and they're letting it go. Good shout out to some of the goalies. I've seen the goalie setups are unreal. They've got some great looking pads. All the
Bauer hooks those goalies up. Yeah, those New York pads with the Statue of Liberty are fucking filthy. Yeah.
So filthy. The one thing is everybody needs to step back and redesign the jerseys. We'll say it again. Fix the jerseys. And
yes.
I think we've got a great product. I think we need to get it on ESPN Plus so we can start seeing it stream. I understand not.
Is it not on anywhere?
Television yet? I don't think so. Nobody quote me on that. I could be very wrong.
Quote him.
I haven't seen it yet. I think that's the next step. Is we need to get it on a big streaming platform so that these women can be seen by more than just the people in the rink.
Yeah, no, it's a great. It's a really, really good product. I'm excited. So what do you got going on this weekend? You going back to Bandon?
No, hopefully we get above freezing so I can leave my house. That would be nice.
Yeah, I got to play a game Friday against the Rock Springs Roughnecks from Rock Springs, Wyoming. And then I leave. I don't know, because apparently they're not very good. So we'll see.
Fight somebody.
We'll see. Saturday I'm flying out to Buffalo and then getting picked up by one of my buddies that lives in Toronto. And then we're driving down to Erie and I'm staying in Erie for a few days and playing Mercyhurst University for two games for the Israeli national selects team. We have absolutely filthy uniforms. They are basically this Spit and Chicklets hoodie, just with the Star of David, and our socks are camo. Like they're unreal. But yeah, so we're playing Mercyhurst. Apparently, so our game's Sunday is 3 p.m. So we have an Airbnb for Saturday. Then we got to go to a different one, but a sick one for Sunday, Monday. It has a sauna, the whole nine yards. But Sunday, our game's at 3 p.m. at Mercyhurst. I guess the team is giving us guest passes for dorm food for lunch. So I get to go to the dorm and eat a meal. And then Mercyhurst is kind enough. Apparently they're buying us pizza, for after the game. So they're supplying some food for us. And then we play them again Monday night.
I hope they put all of you animals in an enclosed room away from all the students so that you can't be oogling anybody.
There's no Ooglin. There's no Ooglin. No Ooglin. But yeah, and then we play him again Monday night, and then I come back Tuesday. I would expect it's going to be cold in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think it's cold everywhere, but yeah, bring a jacket.
Yeah, so there's that. So I don't know how good they are. We'll see. We have a decent squad. Here's the thing. We have a lot of skill. We also have a lot of guys that just like to work, which is good, always good to have. We got a few guys that are just put pucks deep, Johnny, and just go to work and just hammer guys, which is always good.
I have a feeling they're going out the night before. They're getting drunk. They're playing their fourth line guys. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I think it'll actually be pretty competitive. So I'm kind of excited for that. So I'll let you know how that goes. But other than that, we don't have anything. This podcast, again, is brought to you by Phoenix Fit. Code FOILSKATE gets you 15% off. FNXFit.com. They have everything. They have protein. They have glutamine. Dogs eat it. I eat it. Cats eat it. Lots of people eat it. They have creatine. Everybody needs, if you're a guy, you need to get on the creatine. Get you jacked. It helps you retain the water. They got greens and everything in between. Counting my green, get in between. But yeah, code FOILSKATE gets you 15% off. Phoenix Fit, FNXFit.com is how you spell that. Go there, get you some product, use code FOILSKATE, 15% off. And that's the podcast. So Spencer, great job, buddy. We'll see you next week and we'll get back at it.
All right. Safe travels, buddy.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Later. Wait. Hold on. No. We have to talk about Pondoggy.
Oh, I don't think we want to get into that right now.
You need to. No, we have to because so here's the thing. The only thing I need from you is to hold my Airbnb spot. That's it. I don't really need anything else from you. Well, Billy Watson.
We'll discuss the rest of this on the next podcast.
The last thing I'm going to say is Billy Watson, if you're listening, fuck you. Because I know you read my texts and I know you read Spencer's texts, and part of the problem is you won't fucking answer anybody's texts. So if you're listening to this, at least you can go eat a dick, Billy. You're one of the reasons this is all getting fucked up. Mikey, I have nothing to say to you right now. And Brock, I think you're a liar. Don't think you're moving. I think this is a fake house. So this is all I have to say. I'm not happy. I'm not happy about how this is probably going to end up. But I've got options for next season, but I need you to keep my Airbnb spot. That's the bottom line.
All right, deal.
Okay. All right. Bye. I'm mad at you.
Peace.